Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Pastor, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Zama. It's good to have you back. I hope you are refreshed, energized.
Yeah, refreshed and energized. Thank you so much for joining us. Have you been good?
Yeah, I'm all right. Thank you very much. You good?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much for asking. Now, thank you so much. Now, we continue with our Grace Flow conversation together with you on leadership and governance. And we cover some interesting aspects of leadership, focusing on whether leadership is innate or learned. Now, before we get into today's conversation, if you can just maybe a very brief recap of last week's conversation or the just main point of last week, so that those who were not there can follow what you are addressing today.
Yeah, so Bongi and I had an interesting conversation, and she picked up the topic of we picked up the topic of whether or not leadership is inherent in everybody, or it is something that you must go to school to learn. It's a skill, or it's an ability, it's a natural ability or natural talent. So we looked at the fact that leadership is really a mandate from God. If we looked at Genesis chapter 1, where God said, let's create humanity so that they can lead, so that they can be leaders. So we established that it is therefore a mandate that's inherent in every human being. Some people have it already in the forefront in their lives. Others take a while to develop it. We even looked at the U.S. Situation where Kamala Harris, for example, demonstrated leadership at the point where nobody expected her, when the vice president, when the president was no longer available. She came to the forefront, and everybody didn't think she was capable of doing. We looked at Cyril. We looked at many other examples to illustrate the point. But it is something that we all have. But there are people who are readily ready for leadership. There are others who are not as quite ready, sometimes because they are shy, sometimes because of that. But it's an inherent given capacity that we all possess. That's what we established.
Beautiful. Beautiful. It is inherent. So the debate that has been raging for centuries, others saying leaders are born, and others saying, well, leaders are made. You are saying it is inherent. Thank you so much for that. Now, what are we covering today, Pastor?
Well, I thought it is your take, but let's maybe look at leadership and emotional intelligence. That's one of the topics that's going on in the corporate world, and maybe it's relevant even for other aspects of leadership or other spaces of leadership. So let's look at that and see what it will tell us, because one of the things is, one writer says leadership will affect you as much as your in-laws. It will cause sicknesses and diseases and all of that. And so it has a bearing on people's lives, sometimes adversely. And we need to understand how we can minimize that. Especially in the workplace, especially that's where most people spend most time. Those that are working, they spend more time in the workplace, on the spaces of work where they interact with leaders, their CEOs, their supervisors, their managers, and every other person who is a leader in that space. So it has a likelihood of causing people's mental health to go down. One of the presentations we usually do in the corporate sector is workplace bullying, because sometimes leaders are bullying, or sometimes they are bullied themselves. We looked at that too. And the effect, research shows that the effect has far-reaching consequences in terms of profitability, in terms of worker motivation. So emotional intelligence has been coming in the fore, especially in the corporate world, because of Goldman, who introduced it and said it's not just intellectual intelligence we are looking at.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at people's ability to connect with others in emotional ways, social skills,
mm-hmm.
and all of that to minimize stress.
I'm glad that you're going to be addressing this, Pastor. I think it's a very important topic. I do remember that as far back as, in the 90s, we used to hear statements like people don't leave companies, they leave bosses. They don't but just go for the sake of, no, they're tired of this company. No, they leave particular managers because they cannot continue in that environment. And some would say it's a toxic environment, and so they've got to leave. But not necessarily that they don't want to be in the company. So I'm glad that that subject is coming up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so like you are saying, Zama, you are highlighting an important point. The Harvard Business Review, I remember reading it a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
that people who are unkind, and so that's one of the social skills, one of the emotional intelligence issues, who are unkind and unempathetic, tend to cause people to want to be elsewhere than to be in the workspace even leave the workspace, because the bosses are either unkind or unsympathetic to their situation. So it's an important aspect that we need to understand, because it leads to unhappiness. It leads to high attrition or high loss of employees. Good guys are leaving because of what you are saying, bosses that are not emotionally intelligent. You know, I remember doing one of the presentations in one of the corporate companies, and somebody pointed out, and others echoed it, that when we came into this company, I will not mention the name, when we came to this company, we thought that the ruthlessness that we saw and the bullying and all of that was normative, and we accepted it as that, and we ended up also doing the same to others who came. It's a unpleasant environment, but
comes a culture.
It's a culture, and now that we were pointing it out that it is not normative, they were like surprised, because they began to see how devastating it was in their lives. And so we develop this and make it a culture. A boss that is bullying can, or not bullying just, but unkind to the people, can cause the organization to follow in that culture.
Yeah.
And so it leads to, it encourages people to say, look, I need a different environment. And so many people have left jobs because the environment is not friendly. The leaders themselves are not friendly. The leaders are not sympathetic. I mean, even when you need to ask for a leave, I remember one boss saying, listen here, I'm not here to make you my friends. I'm here to make profits. It sounds good and noble, right?
A bit harsh, if you ask me.
it's quite harsh, and that kind of attitude is not helpful. So you can take that even in the context of the church. You find people saying, we are here to worship God. We are not here to be each other's friends. We are not each other. And so the culture of the church organization becomes unpleasant. It becomes unfriendly. And such organization, I don't want to mention them, tend to lose a lot of people. The culture, the environment is not friendly because of the leaders or because of even the members of that organization. So people say, look, I'd rather be elsewhere. I'd rather be at home. And sometimes others watch things online if that particular church has online facilities or the church online, or others stay at home. And so we have had to understand that and look at it and say, but how do we change this culture? How do we change this kind of thing? Because it's affecting people. It's not just the doctrinal correctness. It is not just the organizational structures and all of that. It is the soft skills. It is the stuff that's not written on paper that helps people to stay in those organizations, to want to be part of those organizations. The experiences, the brand experience, if I may call it that, tends to make people to want to stay or to leave. So those are the things that the emotional intelligence era has pointed out, the research that has been done, and so on.
It is also said that, and you'd actually confirm if this is true, it is said that the team will also take the nature of its leader, or rather the character, that's the better word, character of its leader. So if the leader is toxic, some among that particular department will have words such as, no, we're not here to make friends, we're just here to deliver, when they actually deal with other departments and when they're looking for certain information or deliverables from certain departments within the organization. Would you say that is a correct assessment?
It's a very true assessment. It's very unfortunately true. Like I said, there's this organization we're dealing with, and they said, this is how we learned. When we came, we found it like this, and so we perpetuated it too, unknowingly, that it was not helpful, it was toxic, it was unpleasant. We thought that this is the way things are done. And so you see it in the example of the church that I made earlier, that if the leaders are like that, even the members become like that, call it team members or whatever. But it is unfortunate that teams tend to follow their leader. And it affects customers, it affects everybody else. Around in that organization's environment. And for some people, from their perspective, it seems to get things done. It seems to do the deliverables you are talking about. It seems to get things happening. But they do not realize that it has other costs. I mean, the cost of mental health, people's mental health is enormous. I mean, I did research on that and looked at the costs in US and UK. The costs are enormous. You lose great guys that would have taken the company to greater heights, to the results and the profitability you want to have. I mean, there's an organization that I studied and very worked closely with that lost 60% of its membership.
My goodness.
Because of the culture. And it's very clear that they talk about the fact that it's not the doctrinal correctness of the organization that is, or the doctrinal deviations that you can imagine. It is the culture, the organizational culture, the internal culture, the interactions, the social interactions, the care, the kindness, the sympathy, the friendliness. So those are the issues that people are dealing with, the how we deal with each other's feelings, how we deal with each other's issues, how we support one another in crisis. So those are the kind of things that are important in leadership, in organization, insofar as emotional intelligence is concerned.
Very, very important. Now, we're going to be closing it off in a short bit, but I do want you, Pastor, to just touch on what are practical steps that leaders should be taking in order to be, I understand you're saying it's emotional intelligence, but it may not be giving a how-to exactly to apply that, so that as a leader, you are not the cause of a problem and trouble, but you actually are the cause of inspiration.
Yeah, so one of the things that the emotional intelligence people have said and articulated very clearly and emphatically is start with self-awareness.
Mm.
Be aware of the impact that you have and the effect you have on the social environment that you are interacting with.
Mm.
Understand the culture, your thoughts and your behavior. So emotional intelligence says, I need to be sensitive to others, but I need to be also aware of my own difficulties and my own, like I say, you are informed sometimes by your culture. So let's take an example of a family person.
Mm-hmm.
You grew up in a toxic environment, and so you become as toxic as your previous environment.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And so awareness of the fact that this is what shaped you, this is what created you, this is what made you, would help. So, for example, in another conversation I had with somebody senior in one organization I was trying to get into as a pastor. So I'm interacting with this person, and this person says to me, listen, we are not here for your family. We are here for we have employed you. You are the one who has been employed. We are going to be employing you. We are not interested
your
in your family. And that had a deep impression on me, and I thought about it for over years, trying to figure out how does an organization that prides itself as a family-driven organization tend to push away and ignore family?
Mm.
So sometimes decision-making that is made jeopardizes the family. But this organization is a family organization. It's a church organization. It is driven by family. But it does not consider the effect of its decisions on the family. It does not mind. So, for example, a pastor gets moved around to different places, but without the consideration of the family. So that awareness of your impact, your effect on other people's lives, other people's comfort levels, and so you've got to consider those kind of things. How do you impact other people? So your decision making is responsible. Your decision making is informed by those considerations. It's not done in isolation. It's not done minus the human feelings, the human thoughts, the human effect or the impact on human lives. And it inculcates healthy relationships rather than inculcate a negative atmosphere.
Mm. Beautiful.
So those are some of the thoughts. And I mean, they talk about self-regulation as well. Mm. So how do you regulate yourself? How do you manage your feelings? How do you manage your emotions, and how do you regulate other people's emotions? So those are some of the things that emotional intelligence takes into consideration. Empathy. How do you, when Zama is sick or needs to attend to his family, you know, some organizations simply stick to the law. The law says you must take, family responsibility to leave. So if your leave is finished or it's gone,
you can't go.
Especially if you look at the African culture, it's particularly complex than others. I'm not saying others are not, but I'm saying it's a particularly complex culture. When you say to me, your family is sick, or your aunt is sick, I don't know what background you have with this aunt. It may be the one who brought you up, but it may be that in terms of the law, in terms of the policy, it simply says you must be given a leave because it's your biological mother, it's your biological father, it's your biological sister. But the culture has a different understanding. We grow up being family with most of the people that are related to the family. And so that kind of empathy becomes important in organizations as a leader. You look at those, you say, but this person says this is the person who brought them up. So you've got to be able to understand what's happening. You've got to be able to engage, not simply follow the law, you know, not simply follow the rules, not simply follow the policies, but follow what is humane.
Yes.
Because emotional intelligence is about being humane.
True.
So those are some of the considerations, especially from a Christian perspective. Emotional intelligence really showed us off as Christians that we are failing in things that we should have been in the forefront of.
Well, Pastor, I think this was quite a mouthful, and thank you so much for joining us. Very important conversations, by the way, but whether you are in leadership or whether you aspire to be in leadership, and by the way, not only those, but to be a good follower, you've got to also understand what leadership is about. Pastor Amias Mvunelo, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, and blessings to you and your listeners.
Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.